Asmodai dropped the blade and stepped back to examine his work. The prisoner's body was a tapestry of pain. Deep incisions latticed the flesh in precise patterns. The art of their creation had been handed down through the millennia by scores of Dark Angel interrogator chaplains. Once, the traitor space marine, suspended by chains from the ceiling of the torture chamber, had been clad in black armor, not unlike Asmodai's. Now he hung naked, his skin awash with his own blood.
What do you want from me, Dark Angel?
No sooner had the words left his mouth than Asmodai was upon him, gauntleted fingers pushing deep into the open wounds.
All in good time, traitor.
Asmodai relented, shaking the blood from his hands as he stooped to retrieve the blade.
All in good time.
The Rage of Asmodai by C.Z. Dunn. Performed by John Banks, Steve Conlin, Jonathan Keeble, Toby Longworth, and Saul Reichlin. The five brothers of the Relictus chapter quietly picked their way through the trees, alert for any sign of enemy movement. At their head strode Captain Vardana, a living study of Space Marine military history, his grey armor a patchwork of component parts salvaged from the corpses of dead Relictus and brothers of other chapters alike. In his hands, he carried a master-crafted bolter that dated back to the time of the Scouring, once wielded by the master of a chapter long ago declared excommunicate traitoris and hunted to extinction. Something in the distance caught Vidana's attention.
Hold, brothers.
As one, the five Relictors fanned out and dropped to one knee, taking cover behind the thick trunks of the mighty redwoods that soared hundreds of meters towards the sky. They waited in silence for several moments before Vidana identified the source of his concern. A small native quadruped scurrying around in the undergrowth, 6 kilometers away.
Move on.
Vidana approached Maxime. His brother's suit of Mark IV armor was tarnished through millennia of use, the last 200 years of which were his own.
Stay alert, Maxime.
Aye, Captain.
I have the strangest feeling that we are being followed.
They had been on Sasaba, third moon of Corollis V, for almost a month, operating alongside Astra Militarum forces to quell an uprising amongst the indigenous population. A charismatic traitor space marine had rallied them to action and convinced them to throw off the yoke of imperial rule. Though the wood the moon supplied to make the stocks of rifles was bountiful, in truth, the local manufacturum worlds could have easily replaced their supply lines from elsewhere in the subsector. The reaction from the Imperial war machine had been swift and decisive. If the seed of rebellion took root on Sasaba, then other nearby worlds would follow suit, denying the weapons factories of the Corollis' subsector other vital materials for the las rifles they manufactured for almost a dozen Imperial Guard regiments. The Relictor's presence, while fortuitous, was not part of the Imperium's plan. As long as the Space Marines' goals aligned with those of the local commanders, then they would bring the Emperor's might to bear without mercy. But as soon as their own agenda was met, they would leave this world with what they had come here to claim.
Ambush!
At the very edge of their field of vision, hundreds of rebels emerged from behind the trees, dodging and weaving behind the trunks to avoid the barrage of fire from the Relictors. Though they were still several kilometers away, they were eating up the ground quickly and would soon be in weapons range to pose a threat to the Space Marines, closed in on three sides by the felled redwoods.
They've got us hemmed in!
I almost admire this traitor bastard's tactics. Break out! Don't get pinned down!
The five Space Marines rushed forwards in an attempt to escape their confines before it became a slaughter pen. But the oncoming rebels brought their big guns to bear, autocannon and heavy bolter fire driving them back into the sparse cover they could find. Brother Aesir took a direct hit to his left portal, the ancient armor preventing him from losing his arm, but the skull icon emblazed upon the black background was obliterated forever.
Are you wounded, brother?
I am unharmed, Captain, though I fear the Master of the Forge may have a penance in store for me once he sees what poor care I have taken of my war gear.
The first tranche of rebels reach the open end of the trap, only to be cut down by the Relictor's withering onslaught. Before the next, much larger wave could reach them, Bedana reached to his belt and retrieved a grenade.
Cover! Fulwa, Fessick, take up the front. Maxime, Aesir, cover them with me. Move, now!
Bolwa and Fessick moved up into the crater left by the blast.
This is relentless, Bolwa. Where do they keep coming from? There's too many of them. We'll have to abandon cover.
Even the trees that penned the Relictors in no longer offered protection to their side and rear flanks. Rebel troops scaled the thick trunks in an effort to catch the Relictors unawares.
Reinforcements, brothers!
Panic began to spread among the enemy ranks, many of them turning away from the ambushed Space Marines to concentrate their fire on the as-yet-unseen newcomers. In the space of seconds, the tide of battle turned completely. Any rebels not gunned down by the Relictors or their mysterious saviors fled into the forest.
Leave cover!
The five grey-armored Space Marines pressed home the advantage, scything down any retreating woodsman the instant he entered their sights.
Keep vigilance, brothers. Any of these rebels still inclined to fight, execute them.
The air was thick with misted blood. Such was the ferocity of the Space Marine onslaught, and the unmistakable stink of plasma discharge lingered.
Captain, dead ahead!
As one, the Relictor's bolters swung around to target three figures moving through the trees. Two of them had the lumbering gait of heavy weapons servitors, one armed with a plasma cannon, its counterpart fitted with a heavy bolter. Between them was slung a heavy metal crate. The third figure was something else entirely. As he moved closer, Vidana could make out the stranger's black power armor, over which was draped a bone-white robe.
Those markings. Lower your weapons, brothers. He is no enemy of ours. Well met, Dark Angel. Your intervention is as welcome as it is unexpected. Where is the rest of your squad?
The Dark Angel halted no more than 2 meters from Vidana and looked at each of the Relictors in turn, as if appraising them.
I am here alone on a mission of vital import to my chapter. A similar mission to the one I believe you are on.
The Dark Angel's reputation for clandestineness was well earned, but almost matched by their ability to uncover secrets. Verdana's bolter rose by just a fraction.
And are you here to stop us, Chaplain?
On the contrary, Brother Relictor. I am here to assist you. Or, more accurately, you are here to assist me.
I don't understand. If you seek the same object as we do, then you must realize why we could never allow it to fall into the hands of another chapter.
Once again, all five bolters trained on the Dark Angel.
Too late for that, Captain. Your quarry is no longer in possession of the object, as you called it, and hasn't been for quite some time.
And how do you know this?
Because I have it.
The Dark Angel did not allow his gaze to fall from the Relictor's captain as he gestured to the metal crate being held by the servitors.
Right here.
If you already have it, why do you need our aid?
The traitor who leads the rebellion. He wears black armor.
We have yet to see him with our own eyes, but the Astra Militarum field reports indicate that the rebels are led by a figure in dark power armor.
And that armor bears the markings of one of the legions of old.
It would appear that you already know the answer to that, Brother Chaplain. But yes, it does.
Then I require your aid in capturing him so that I may deliver him to my chapter for interrogation. In return, I shall give you what you desire.
And how do we know that you will keep your end of the bargain? How do we even know that the box contains what you say it does?
You don't. You'll just have to trust me. The traitor must be taken alive at all costs, even if that means laying down your own lives to ensure that. Do that for me, and you will have the object along with the gratitude of the Dark Angels. What say you, Relictor? Do we have a deal?
Aye, Chaplain. We have a deal.
Asmodai had been about his bloody business for days, inflicting pain on his prisoner unlike any he had felt during his near 10,000 years of existence. In that time, wounds had been opened, healed, and reopened. Bones had been shattered and twisted, the traitor Space Marine's physiology rapidly repairing them, so that Asmodai could break them again and again. For the first time in hours, the Dark Angel granted the prisoner some respite, turning his back on the shackled figure to select his next implement of torment from the array within the chamber.
What is it you want from me?
Asmodai picked up a long, thin blade and took three large strides across the room. With his free hand, he clasped the back of the traitor's neck at the top of the spine, digging his fingers into a nerve cluster that completely numbed the right side of his body, but magnified the sensation of pain on the left side tenfold.
When the time comes, I will ask you one question, and one question only.
The chaplain took the blade and inserted it between the thumb and forefinger of the prisoner's left hand, slowly sliding it deeper.
In the meantime, I will ensure that when you answer, nothing but the truth shall pass your lips.
The six Space Marines moved quietly through the trees, alert for lookouts posted high above them. The darkness of their armor helped them to blend in with the benighted forest floor, and their keen vision enabled them to spot the sentries long before they themselves were detected. A swiftly and accurately thrown combat knife ensuring that the alarm was never raised. Since the agreement, there had been little talk, and the taciturn chaplain had revealed nothing else about himself. Even his name remained a secret. The most the relictors had heard him speak was when they came across one of the rebel survivors of the ambush, slowly bleeding out through an abdomen wound. Despite being faced by six genetically engineered warriors, he had been reluctant to divulge anything useful. But after a few minutes with the Dark Angel, he had not only revealed the location of the rebel's forest base and force disposition, but also confirmed that the traitor Space Marine was holed up there.
How much further, Dark Angel? The sun will rise soon and rob us of the cover of darkness.
The camp is 9 kilometers to the east.
The chaplain pointed into the distance with his combat knife, its blade slick with the blood of the rebel he had interrogated.
Even at a sprint, we shall not beat the break of dawn, but the element of surprise shall still be ours.
The closer they got to their target, the more the trees began to thin out. In place of watchmen high up in the tree line, foot patrols became their greatest threat of detection, blades now employed to slit throats at close range to keep the advantage of surprise on their side for as long as possible. When they finally came upon the enemy base, just as the first rays of morning light filtered down through the trees, it was exactly as the interrogated prisoner had described it. A former woodcutter's camp, the compound perimeter was reinforced by hundreds of felled trees stacked to form thick walls more than 10 meters high. The sole point of entry to the prefabricated buildings within was a large metal gate cobbled together from panels from the huge logging trucks that transported timber to the moon's spaceport. Gun nests sat atop either gatepost. Las Cannon teams scanned the surrounding forest for signs of enemy assault.
As we agreed.
The Dark Angel and Relictors nodded. The captain had formulated a plan of attack based on the information gleaned from the rebel. Aesir and Fessick sprinted from out of cover, whilst the other Space Marines raked the gatepost turrets with a storm of bolt shells. Neither Las Cannon returned fire, their operators reduced to nothing more than ruined corpses in the wake of such a sudden and ferocious assault. The other gun nests reacted, but too late. The pair of relictors reached the gates and scaled them, punching through the salvaged metal to form handholds. Quickly reaching the top of the wall, they too opened up with their own bolters, nullifying the next closest turrets, allowing the other three relictors and the Dark Angel chaplain safe passage. While Aesir and Fessick took care of the threat atop the wall, the others climbed the gate, dropping down into the compound below, where rebels swarmed from their billets, roused by the noise of combat. Their numbers, already diminished from the failed ambush, The rebels were unable to mount any kind of serious defense. With their outer walls breached, the thin metal huts provided no protection at all. Those too cowardly to come out and face their aggressors were slaughtered where they hid.
Brother Maxime!
Over there! The traitor!
An armored figure ducked back behind the building he was using as cover. The Dark Angel and the Relictors found their own sanctuary, taking up position behind surrounding structures.
Maxime!
Thigh wound! I may lose the leg, but it won't kill me! Can you see him, Captain?
No, brother.
Leave me behind! Complete the mission!
The Relictor Captain ran to the shelter of the next building. The shots came as if from nowhere, catching Vedana out in the open. The first two passed by him. The third caught him square on the pauldron, spinning him into the side of the hut he was heading for. The Dark Angel, taking cover behind the opposite building, looked over at Vedana, left arm hanging limply at his side.
I'm fine. The armor took the brunt of it.
Up ahead, a dark shape darted between buildings before he had time to react.
Aesir, Fessick, can you see him?
The two Relictors had remained on top of the wall to cover the attack on the base.
No, Captain! No, Captain.
It's no good. He's using the cover to his advantage. He can wait for us to show ourselves and pick us off one by one.
Then let us remove that advantage, Captain.
In one smooth motion, the Chaplain took the Crozius Arcanum from where it was hanging at his waist, powered it up, and swung it through the walls of the hut he was using as cover, collapsing one end of the structure before advancing and doing the same at the other end. Quickly realizing the Dark Angel's strategy, Vedana and Bulwar did likewise, the captain revving up his ancient chainsword, the larger Relictor simply using his bare hands to tear down the flimsy buildings.
He's on the move! To your left, Captain!
Fessick followed up his warning with shots to pinpoint the traitor's position to his brothers and the Dark Angel down below. Sprinting along one of the alleys that ran between the huts, Vedana emerged into the junction at the exact same moment as the black-armored heretic. Grimacing through the pain, he dropped the shoulder that had been hit earlier and thrust it into the onrushing traitor's midriff, bringing himself upright and using his enemy's own momentum against him. Spinning on his heel, Vedana thrust downwards with his chainsword to where he expected his prone opponent's chest to be, but the traitor had already rolled clear and was rising to his feet. The traitor lunged at Vedana, gripping his throat with one hand while holding the chainsword at bay with the other.
Give my regards to your corpse, Emperor, when you join his side.
The heretic was at least a head taller than the Relictor, though he was eye to eye with Vedana as the captain's feet were off the ground, swinging his body from side to side like a child's plaything, the life being choked from him whilst being used as a transhuman shield.
Today is not that day, heretic filth!
Just when Vedana could feel himself slipping away, the hulking traitor suddenly relinquished his grip, falling to the ground alongside the Relictor captain. Quickly regaining his senses, Vedana accepted the proffered hand from his savior and rose to his feet.
You have my gratitude, Dark Angel.
No, Captain. It is you who has my gratitude.
The Dark Angel chaplain placed his armored boot onto the unconscious traitor's back and rolled him over. There, emblazoned on the left pauldron, was the symbol he had been expecting to find on the black armored traitor. An eight-pointed gold star with an eye at its center. The unmistakable icon of the dreaded Black Legion.
You kept your end of the bargain, Captain. Now I shall keep mine.
The chaplain and the captain stood apart from the rest of the Relictors, Bulwar and Aesir tending to Maxime's wounded thigh, Fessick standing guard over the armorless and bound traitor spaceman.
Can I ask how you came to obtain it?
You can ask, but I will not answer. Suffice to say that it is rightfully mine to give, and rightfully yours to protect. If you know as much about this object as I think you do, then you know how dangerous it is. Do not let it fall into the wrong hands. Am I clear?
Vedana nodded his assent before crouching down in front of the box. He ran his hands over it, as if it was the most fragile, most precious thing in the entire Imperium.
The lock is keyed to specific genetic markers. It will open for you, just as it did for me.
The Relictor flipped up a panel on the lid of the box to reveal a smooth black square. He removed his right gauntlet and placed his hand upon it, the multiple locks releasing instantly. Vidana very carefully lifted the lid from the box, his face bathed in the cool blue glow of cryonics, frost riming his lips and lower jaw. He stared in wonder for what seemed like an eon. When he finally snapped out of it, the Dark Angel and the pair of servitors were already making their way through the forest. Just before he disappeared from view, the chaplain turned back.
Remember, Relictor, you are its guardian now. Under no circumstance is it to be used.
It had been weeks since Asmodai had visited the prisoner, but the marks of the last interrogation were still evident. After months of being held captive, the Black Legionnaire's flesh was almost entirely scar tissue, his limbs distorted from where his captor had allowed them to reset at awkward angles. Even if the prisoner was capable of escape, his own body would not allow him to get far. Asmodai approached the traitor to inspect him, crushing the teeth he had removed to prevent him from biting off his own tongue under interrogation. He lifted the traitor's chin and took a good look at his face. The traitor stared blankly back through swollen eyes. Asmodai turned his attention to the container of fluid being pumped intravenously into the traitor's spinal column, inhibiting the catalepsian node and denying him the ability to sleep or rest. Satisfied that everything was in order, Asmodai made to leave.
Ask me a question. Repeat. Ask me the question.
And you will answer truthfully. If you lie to me, I will keep you in this state forever.
I will tell you the truth, and then you will kill me.
Very well. My question is a simple one. Where is Epimetheus? Very well. Rot here for all eternity. What was that? I couldn't hear you.
You said you would kill me. Kill me. Kill me. Kill me.